Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
Ashley Schiavone. She don't take no baloney.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hannah. God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon Out of a Cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews Sisters.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old broads, okay? I'm Ronnie Karam, and I'm here with my co-host and little bestie, Mr. Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Ireland. Hello, Bean.
Oh, hi. How's it going?
Everything's just great. I'm happy to be here for another Beverly Hills episode, a very special one. Does Lisa get caught in her backhanded ways? How could you? But before we get to that, we have announced our show in Pittsburgh. It's going to be amazing. Yeah. It's in July. Coming to Pittsburgh. So excited about it. Go get tickets for that. We're also soon coming to Phoenix and Portland, right? One right after the other. Go get your tickets for that, then Irvine. Yeah. For tickets for everything, a schedule of our shows, go to watchitcrappens.com. We are also... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that the Pittsburgh tickets are going on sale to the public on Friday, but for right now, there's a Patreon pre-sale. So if you want to ensure that you get yourself a ticket, if you're a Patreon backer, then you will have access to the ticketing link right now, and that's going to last through Thursday night at 10 p.m. and then on 10 p.m. Eastern, and then on Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, the tickets will go on sale to everyone. So it's sort of in a pre-sale phase. So get them while you can.
Well, also, everybody, we have new shirts out today. It's our announcement for the day. Since it's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Day, one of the most requested shirts of all time. Goodbye, Kyle.
Bye, Kyle.
So if you want
your own Goodbye, Kyle,
your Goodbye, Kyle shirts, go over to crappensmerch.com. You can also find that link at watchwithcrappens.com. They come in lots of cute colors and lots of cute different styles. Ladies t-shirts, super soft, regular soft, V-neck, sweatshirts, sweaters. We even have baby clothes. Or we have purse, you know, like big travel bags and stuff like that. So go over there and get you one of those. There's only two more days to buy your Kansas Luann leggings and shirts. Those are out of here by the end of this week.
Yeah, and if you missed the other announcement, we are, in fact, going to cover the final season, which is like six episodes, of Game of Thrones. We're going to call it Winter is Crappening. And you don't have to do anything. This is just sort of like an alert. It's going to just appear in the regular podcast feed. Hey, and if you don't listen to Game of Thrones, no big deal.
Just scroll on by, okay? Don't have a fit that we're doing Game of Thrones in there, everybody. Okay?
Yes, relax.
Just relax.
Everyone relax, okay?
If you don't watch it, you're still going to get your regular 5 days of crappins that has nothing to do with Game of Thrones, okay?
Yeah, it's not going to interrupt anything. It's not a Patreon anything. It's just a fun thing because I have now caught up on Game of Thrones. I have joined Ronnie and AKA also the world. And we just thought, you know what? There's only like a few episodes left of this show. So why not like bring our crap and sensibility to it? We thought it'd be fun. So yeah, this is something to look forward to in April.
Yeah, we've done a lot of crappy, you know, reality shows, crappy in the way that we love, but it will be really fun to do a really classy television in our style. So.
Exactly. And we'll try to do some, I think it comes back. Is it like Easter Sunday or something like that? I think it is somewhere around there. But we may do an episode or two beforehand just to get everyone pumped and ready and get the juices flowing. So it's just more of a programming alert more than anything else. You know,
okay, there it
why
is.
Why not?
Why
there
not?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, that's how we decide to do everything. We go, hey, why not? Okay.
Yeah. Why not?
Hey, you want to start a podcast? Why not?
Yeah.
Want to start a Game of Thrones one? Why not?
Yeah.
Want to go to Pittsburgh? Why the hell not? That's what I say.
We're doing everything. We're going to Pittsburgh. We're talking Game of Thrones. We're selling new T-shirts. I mean, come on. I mean, like, guys, we're taking it all on.
We're hosting more than Housewife, baby.
Okay, baby. I also want to do something. You know, sometimes I forget that we've brought on a lot of new listeners, which we're so excited about. We're so excited that, you know, this podcast would start off so small, and now we are where we are. And sometimes we forget that a lot of listeners are pretty new. And sometimes we have these ongoing jokes that that have been going on for years, and we forget that not everyone even understands what they are. And one of them that we've been doing a lot this season is Camille Grammer and Mauricio talking. And a lot of people are like, why is it that whenever they impersonate Camille, they always talk over each other? And the reason why is because, like, in season 3 of the show, there was a scene where Camille Grammer was trying to explain how she felt about something like Adrian Malouf's, like, wedding vow renewals, but she didn't really know how to say it. So Mauricio just sort of took over and started explaining how she felt for her, and she just sort of mouthed along with Mauricio. And it's one of our favorite clips of all time. So I'm going to play it now because we haven't played it in actually probably like 2 years. And just to catch everyone up on one of our favorite things, okay?
Okay.
So how sad that we're going to be celebrating
somebody else's. Yeah, when, on the same day that we hear about our friend's split.
So upsetting.
I know.
It is, like, amazing when you listen to it that he's like, okay, I'm going to speed this along. So sad that when we...
celebrating someone's
friends like
they split up when another one like that.
Yeah, the wedding setting.
You know, it was Paul and Adrian splitting up. I think the news of that was coming through while Lisa and Ken were renewing their vows, I think.
Yeah, who knows? But God, that still makes me laugh. And Camille still does it in every scene she's in. It cracks me up. And the way that she kisses people with her mouth wide open like a fish, she's like, and just kind of, yeah, mwah. No, you close your lips. You can't close your lips ever.
Oh, sorry. She never closes. Sorry.
Mwah.
Oh, this show. Now, something else that's very consistent with this show that I'm really sick of is Kyle plugging everything all the time. We open up with Kyle going to the agency. Okay, done with it. Stupid Kyle and your stupid agency.
Yeah. Yeah. She walks in and she, like, you know, she plods on over to Mauricio's office. She's like, oh, I feel so much better now that we dropped Sophia off. I was like, oh. I'm like, okay, we're really going to drag out the Sophia off to George Washington moment, like, into this episode, too.
Yeah. Sophia, you're just like Kyle's show. Canceled! Just kidding. Sophia's, like, totally nice. Like, I have nothing
to say about
Sophia. She's, like,
a perfectly lovely teen girl. Yeah. So Kyle's, like...
Yeah, everybody, leave Sophia alone online. You guys going after children on... Not you guys, personally. I just mean you, world. Going after people's children on the internet? Come on.
Yeah. Unless we say it's okay. Because we'll go after some children, for sure. But so Kyle is she's all stressed at American Woman, which is her TV show that she produced that was based on her family. She's stressed that it hasn't been picked up yet by the Paramount Network. And she's so ridiculous. She's like, you know, it means a lot to me because, you know, it's my way of keeping my mom's memory alive, you know, especially now that we've been robbed. I'm like, it's a show with Alicia Silverstone on it. This is. What do you mean this is about you keeping your mom's memory alive? Come on now.
That's about some rewriting history.
It's about you want to get some syndication money.
Yeah. I really can't with Kyle, so I'm just going to let you say everything.
No, I just think it's like, just say what it is. Like, you want the show to come back for a second season because... it's your show. You want it to come back for a second season, but, like, they add all this stuff of, like, oh, it's my way of keeping my mom's memory alive. You talk about your mom every single episode on this show, okay? Her memory is, like, very alive and well.
Yeah, your mom's memory has a walker at this point. It's so alive, okay?
And I'm not trying to disrespect this poor lady who died. I'm just saying, like let's not add, like, these layers of, like, sentimentality to this show. It was a show with Alicia Silverstone. It didn't work out. I'm sorry for your TV loss. Let's move on. Yeah, I'm cranky. She's like, well, I'm cranky.
She's like, well, if it's canceled, at least my sisters will talk to me again before I sell that other show that's also stealing from my sister's storylines. This one, the new one, will be about how we have competing real estate agencies after my husband sold clients from her real estate agency.
Oh, I really hope that I get a second season of my real estate agency show. I just want to keep the memory of the agency alive. It's like there are signs all over Los Angeles. But the agency.
I just want to keep the memory of my sister Kathy. Kathy is still alive, Kyle.
So I lost my agency hat, and I want to keep the memory of that hat alive. Oh, here's another one. Never mind.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so Eric. Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was vaping, and I filled my vape thing up with liquid, and I inhaled and it like got all over my mouth. Now my mouth is numb. I'm going to have nicotine overdose. If I have a heart attack, that's why. Call the cops.
And if things go bad, God forbid, I just hope we can do one more episode of this show to keep your memory alive, Ronnie.
Yeah, when I die, every time you do your recap, just say, we're doing this recap today to keep Ronnie's memory alive.
The memory of Rondel. Mm. Yeah.
Well, this got dark. Okay, so Erica is going over to Dorit's fashion shoot that she's having in her house, and Jennifer Lopez's house. For Beverly Beach! Yeah. How about you pay the guy who invented Beverly Beach? How about that? Huh. That would be a good start.
Well, yeah. So, yeah. So, Dorit is like, there's going to be a photo shoot for JMG Magazine. And she's like, guys, I think I'd like to be in pink today. Should I be in pink today? They're like, please. You just want to get through this photo shoot and go home and have some Popeyes or whatever. You know, it's like, no.
You know, I'd like to think that my jobs are like my babies. Beverly Beach was a fake little baby beach. I haven't paid for this baby yet, but it doesn't stop it from eating all my boobies. Oh, I'm a good mother to Beverly Beach. I'm like, oh, God, Doreen.
Yeah, she's like, and to have Beverly Beach featured on the cover of the Penny Saver, I'm a proud mother.
And Erica's directing it for her. And she's like, oh, yeah, girl. Oh, I don't give a fuck. How about some old spray tans? Oh, you need a thong. Girl, you need a high heel. There, I said it. I found the seven. That's why you get Erica on the set.
Yeah, you're selling ass, not cookies. Although, I guess if you had cookies in the shape of an ass, you could do two for one.
So she's helping her, and Dorit's like, Erica is sexy, and she takes sexy to a different level. And Erica's like, here's what I've learned in the business, butts and boobs. That's it. Thanks for coming, everybody. Thanks butts for coming to my TED Talk.
Butts and boobs, pop the bus. Let's go, Mikey. Yes!
Yeah, Mikey's at home so mad he's not getting his yasiduals. He's like, wait a minute, yasiduals. This is my job, bitch!
Yasiduals.
I got 10 cents for every yas that appears on cable.
Look, he's even talking like Erica now.
I'm in yasication!
Yasication.
I just want one more yas to keep the memory of yas alive.
So let us go over to a place that old ladies dream about, Villa Rose.
Yes, Lisa Vanderpump is carrying a tray of beverages to show she's grounded and doesn't need Rocio to do everything for her. She's like, oh, I have a tall Arizona iced tea. It comes from the hillsides of Sedona. By the way, I cannot confirm if there was Arizona iced tea on that platter, but I just, for some reason, I had that vision in my head that she's just carrying Arizona iced tea on a silver platter.
I feel like she has that just for when people like Denise come over. She's like, I will not have tea brewed for such a miscreant. Today we will be serving Arizona.
Arizona. It's imported from another country called Arizona. And you know that Lisa probably has like the weird flavors. Like she has the ginseng one. You're like,
yeah.
Okay. Like, wow. Let's
make my son smarter.
Denise, I brought you a beverage that I'm not sure where it comes from, but it's very exotic. It's called Yahoo Hoo.
So Denise comes with her kids. She's like, God, what a nice place. Jesus Christ. God, how's everything white? Can't do that. That's fucking ridiculous. Those fucking swans. How many goddamn motherfucking swans you got? That is nuts. That's fucking crazy. That's crazy. Where do you even get a swan? And she's like, the swan shop.
Ken, did you hear that? Pandy! Pandy's cracking up over there. Look at Pandy. Mother, you said the swan shop? Yes, Ken. Pandy, yes.
Pandy's over there, like, trying to put coconut on the edge of a glass to steal Tom and Tom's menu in the meantime.
Yeah, how do you keep everything white? You know, let me tell you something. In my house, oh my God, my printer is printing right now.
Why? What's it printing? What's it talking about? I don't know. What are you talking about?
I have to discuss this with my boyfriend, who's clearly printing something from the printer.
Who even prints things?
How rude of him. Here it comes. Here comes the paper.
I don't know people print things anymore. That's
can you hear the printer?
I'm just saying. Yeah, of course I hear it. You know, we can do.
What is this? How do you keep this printer so white? Yeah, no, Denise is like, yeah, how do you keep it so white? That never happens at our house. Let me tell you something. Aaron and I fuck on every single piece of furniture, and between the cum stains and the skid marks, it's a mess.
Gross.
Listen,
disgusting. I don't want to talk about that.
Listen, I can't help it. I'm overwhelmed. My HP is acting up at the moment. Look, actually, you know what I have to say? It's not printing anything. No papers have even come out.
Maybe it's just doing its warm-up thing.
Printer's like, I'm still like, a printer. I would like some Arizona iced tea, please. The printer's like, can I just print one more page just to keep the memory of this ink cartridge alive?
The printer is your Bueller.
Yeah, it literally printed nothing. It just like woke up out of nowhere. I was like, ah.
Yeah. It's like the Amazon guys outside. Here comes the printer. It's like,
now, run. Teddy, can you please bring up this printer next time you're at Vanderpump Dog? Thanks.
Oh, God, I can't wait to get to that because it is a big episode. And when I was watching this, I was texting Ben like, this is the lamest episode ever. Nothing's going to happen. So stupid. I have to watch Dorit and Kyle. Kyle's in the agency. Dorit's pretending she has a bathing suit line. Come on.
Yeah.
And then it got so good. But now, let's stay at Villa Rosa for a little while. So she's going to show the kids the horses, and the horses are little bitches, Diamonds and Rosé.
The horses cracked me up. They were going nuts. I don't think they've been let out of their little pen in 3 years, because when they were let out, they were running circles around that dining, like that dining table or that patio table. They were just like, rawr, 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 rawr. Just like, oh, Pandy, stop them.
And then the dogs are trying to get them. You know, the dogs are trying to play with them or bite them or whatever. And they can crush those dogs, you know. So yeah. It was like it was bedlam over there. It's mayhem.
Yeah. And we learned that Denise has like a bunch of dogs. And she has a dog that like predates Wild Things. It's crazy. She has a dog that's 22 years old.
Oh, God, that poor dog. They showed that dog and it looks like taped together car parts. It's like, is that even a dog still?
I think it's like Teresa Russell or something. It's just, yeah. You know what? I would totally, never mind. I was going to make a pun about Teresa Russell and a Jack Russell Terrier, but Teresa Russell Terrier.
Yeah. R.I.P. Realized... Zena. We love you, Zena. My little Jack Russell, who's now in Pumpy Heaven, darling. I'll never forget you. And I can't forget you because you're now a giant portrait in my home.
Oh, Zena.
That I look at every day and say, Zena, I hope one day Beulah can live up to you.
Well, let's do something to keep the memory of Zena alive, shall we?
Sure.
La 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 la. There, that was beautiful. You know, I really think that we should have another season of American Girl. What was it called? Yeah, never mind. You know what? Let me just drink more coffee and like
American Woman. Don't treat
American
that,
Woman.
Don't treat that American Girl show like it's the second best. It's American Woman.
American Woman. American Girl is a dollhouse.
Yeah, doll so place. Those are my niece's creepy dolls. So that's for another show. So So Denise is like, and the other ladies are fucking upset with Lisa motherfucking Vanderpump, but she's been nothing but warm and lovely to me, and I want to make my own decision. And I feel like that is every season, basically, wrapped up in a nutshell.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Some new person comes in, gets, you know, entranced by Lisa, and then becomes resentful of it and betrays her.
Yeah.
Usually because Lisa's trying to manipulate her, let's be honest. But that's fine. That's fine. We're okay with that.
Can't wait till season 10, where Denise puts a new spin on how to betray Vanderpump, who's never done anything to anyone.
So now we go over to Dorit and Erica, you know, still hanging out. And Dorit is telling Erica about the text messages that Lisa Vanderpump showed.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Okay. But I have to say, the season starts off with Dorit going, oh, E. Like, oh, okay. Like they're going to braid each other's hair, you know? Oh, E. That's my name for Erica.
She's, oh, I see what you're saying. I thought she was like working her way through the vowels.
A E I O W. Why settle for just 1 year?
And sometimes, why?
It's a vowel. It's a vowel. It's PK a vowel. I'd like to buy a PK, please.
That temporary vowel. Why?
Can you imagine to read on Wheel of Fortune?
I'd like to buy a vowel, but I don't have any money for it. Can I still buy one?
Fine. I've got enough money for 97 vowels, bat.
I feel like it's like, okay, Dorit, would you like to buy a vowel? Say a letter. Yes. Is there an...
She almost solves the puzzle, but the IRS comes in to take all of her vowels because she never had the money.
You know she's the one who fucks up the puzzle when she has like every single letter, and she's been the one who's been like spinning and like stop spinning, solve it already. And there's like one letter left, and she's like,
"That's the way the cookie fumbled." Like what?
Where's not want tater tots? That's what I say. There's not enough letters for that, ma'am.
Indiana Jones in the Temple of Poom. What? I'd like to solve it.
You know she will.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
A bird in hand is stronger than 19 chili restaurants in a row. Who eats awesome blossoms in you?
You can't have your cake and fat it too.
So she's telling
George
her...
Poshington.
So she's telling her about all these text messages. She's like, 6 pages! Oh, and some are from Teddy and some guy that she's apparently never met before named John. It's possibly sprinkling outside a little bit.
Possibly sprinkling outside. She doesn't trust John's last name's forecast.
So she goes, John Frosty. Oh, sorry. What'd you say?
I literally made a stupid joke based on, I was trying to make a joke on the fact that a blizzard is also something you can order at, is it Dairy Queen?
Oh my God, that's my dad's favorite place. She's like, I'll never trust what comes out of John Heath Bar Blizzard's mouth.
Guys, I'll never trust John McFlurry.
Now listen. I might believe him because I've had a blizzard before. And you can even turn it upside down and it never falls out.
Ah, it fell out on me.
You know the blizzard would fall out for her. Because she'd be holding it in her hands for so long it would melt around the sides.
Look, Erica, it won't even fall on my face. Ah!
Young lady. Ah!
So she's saying she got these texts, and she goes, in where? Teddy says, have the dog at Vanderpump's Dog Center, and I'll bring it up. And Erica goes, oh, wow!
Erica's totally, by the way, instigating this situation. I feel like we haven't really emphasized that enough, but she is full on instigating this.
They all are. I mean, look, Rinna's doing
yeah,
it.
Rinna's
at,
doing
at
it
least
too.
Rinna's taking, you know, at least Rinna's owning it.
Yeah,
as
Rinna's
she would
having
say,
fun with it.
Because Rinna's
the thing.
Loving
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
And she's totally doing it. But, you know, I don't think people give Kyle and Erica enough credit for this because Kyle has been saying, what about the dog? Ha! You thirsty? Bet that dog was thirsty. Every
chance
she gets.
You gotta wonder what Vanderpump's next play is, right?
Yeah. So Eric is like, whoa. And she's like, and then texting 5 minutes before she gets there saying, is the dog there? And Erica tells us,
I'm getting different facts than I got in my chapel.
Yeah, and but then Dorit's like, but even with the new evidence, I still feel the same way as I did before. I'm like, well, but you have new evidence, though.
Like, I know, but...
Like, this is what's wrong with all of us here in America right now. Like, no, we just, because... like, we just can't... Never mind.
Because to me, it's so obvious that there. She's like, okay, I got this evidence, and then now Teddy has a heads up about the evidence, and now, you know, because Teddy's story was totally different last week. She totally lied, or a couple weeks ago, she totally fucking lied and misrepresented this whole thing. So then she's called out on it, and someone tells her, oh, Vanderpump, Kyle or Dorit told her, well, Vanderpump pulled out all the texts that weren't cropped.
Yeah.
And so Teddy comes back with a totally different story where now she's going to be honest about it after just lying about it and saying, oh, I never tell a lie. Never, ever tell a lie. And everyone's still going to be on Teddy's side because they've all had time to prepare, you know?
Yeah. And Dorit's like, I just don't understand why I'm being made to look bad. I'm like, well, here's probably why. Because Lisa Vanderpump brought you onto this show, and then you talked mad shit about her behind her back last year when everyone was in New York, and then you acted like you didn't, and then you made her look like a fool. And then on top of everything else, you adopted a dog and did not follow through the protocol, and she was really pissed about it, but she didn't want to seem like a total bitch about it. So she's like, you know what? Like, this was all best. By the way, this was all just a way to sort of just like bring it up on camera, you know? Like, I don't know. I just feel like Dorit is acting like she is such a huge victim in all this. And do I think that Lisa Vanderpump was like trying to be manipulative or up to some shady business? Yeah, of course. But I think like to what end? Like they're just acting like she was, I don't know, trying to get Dorit like kicked out of her house and like all of her money. Like,
yeah,
froze,
we've already got lawyers to do that, lady.
Yeah, I just think it's like the reason why she's trying to make you look bad is because you did her dirty last season. And you know what? This is sort of what happens.
Yeah, and you did the dog dirty this season, you fucker. So she's
most importantly of all.
Like I've got two friends set up to hurt me. And Erica goes, you gotta think like a lawyer. Like, when Tom's really stressed out and he's working from home on a case, he always asks two questions. One, what's the motive? And two, why don't you put the scene up, Erica? I'm not a goddamn woman, you stupid hooker. I'm taking a dollar off your allowance.
Not a goddamn hooker.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
My name is Caitlin, and I'm non-binary.
Have you come out to your family as non-binary, Caitlin?
And that's Amru. We're making a podcast about coming out and figuring ourselves out.
I still have a lot of questions.
Do you think you know what non-binary means? How did it feel? So what exactly is tucking? Some questions are bigger than others, but all of them are worth asking. You might have heard the term non-binary. This is how it feels. NB, a new podcast from BBC Sounds.
So then we see Rinna, she's driving, and she's like calling someone, I think maybe Camille or something. She's like, hello, are we on for dinner tonight? I can't wait for dinner tonight. I don't know what I'm talking. I don't think I have a dial tone. I think I'm just talking to myself right now. But it still feels really rewarding. I am on for dinner with myself. I am.
So Rinna's like, Camille's turning 50. That is terrifying. When you're 50 in this town, you're washed up. You're done. Kaput. Finito. TBC. End of the line. Lights off. A rattler in the backyard when Harry's got a jar. Baby. Over. Jeez. God.
We're here. At the end of the road. No, I can't. Say no. Oh, God. Boys to men. More like men to men. I don't know.
Yeah, well... That's the key, is to find out what witches and potions work for you, you know? I mean, it's not the key to happiness, really, but the key to looking so insane that people start wondering what alien spaceship crapped into your face instead of how old you are.
You know? Fucking Eden Sassoon, am I right? Fucking Eden Sassoon. So Rinna meets up with Camille at the Trocadero on Sunset, and...
There's nothing to make you feel more 50 than walking into the Trocadero.
Oh, God.
Dude.
That bar.
God.
I've never had fun there, ever. Ever. I used to live right by. I used to live like basically across the street from there, like feet away. And I'd always try to make the Trocadero work because it's like, oh, it's my local bar. I always want. It was like Fetch. I wanted Fetch to work. I wanted the Trocadero to work. It's never good ever.
Nope.
I don't know why. Why isn't it good? It should be good. It's got bricks. It's got a good location.
There's just a lot of douche. There's a high douche quotient there.
Yeah, one time I was across the street at the Cabo Cantina, and Slash from Guns N' Roses had a birthday party there for his kid, which I thought was weird.
I mean,
for
that's
many
pretty
different
much
reasons.
It. That, you just that described is, it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just described the feeling.
Yep.
So she meets Camille, and they're talking to party planners and stuff, and Rinna's doing her typical, like, hi, hi, hello, hello, it's me, Lisa Rinna. You look gorgeous, gorgeous.
She's like doing a one-woman chorus line in the doorway. Everyone's like, can you please come in? She's like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
So, basically, they're there to talk shit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, for Camille's like, oh, yeah, I can't believe I made it to 50.
Because you've been through a lot.
Been through a lot.
Yep, you've been through a horrible divorce.
Horrible divorce.
Getting married soon. You know, yeah. You're getting married.
Getting,
can't wait to start a new life.
Yeah.
All right. Wrap it up, Camille. I have five more people to say hi to.
So okay. Upsetting.
It's upsetting, I know. So, yeah, Camille's like, oh, my God, I've been through so much. And Brenda's like, so then it turns to the talk in the Bahamas.
Bahamas, right.
And she's like, I'm inviting all the girls. There was a lot of commotion at the Bahamas. And Brenda's like, here's the deal, Camille. Which rhymes? God, impress me. This has been going on for years. I mean forever. Now and forever. Like cats. Which I loved. But I believe you've experienced this whole thing with Lisa Vanderpump.
Isn't that in your memory? Get it? Cats call back just a second ago. Memory.
Just
oh my God, where's your tire? I need to get up on a tire and float off.
And so Camille's like, yeah, I've been through the wrath of Vanderpump. Like, it's terrible because it's a character assassination.
Yeah, and so, you know, like, Rena's excited about this. She's like, oh shit, I don't really think Camille was in it too. Because then we see a flashback of the famous scene where Camille's like, you know, now we said it, you know, and she storms out. And then I forgot that Camille got mad at Vanderpump because she was like, you told me to say that. And Vanderpump was like, no, I didn't.
Vanderpump's like, no, Camille.
But then
she's like, yes, you did. And you told me to bring up the abuse with Taylor and Russell. And then when I bring it up, you throw me under the bus. Fuck off. She leaves.
And Camille's like, yeah, she did manipulate me, but you know what? It wasn't so bad. She's like, honestly, I feel bad for her, you know? And, you know, basically Camille's like, I wasn't manipulated. I did what she said. I don't give a fuck. Who cares? You know?
Yeah, she's like, you know, she's going through a tough time. And in her defense, there's something about Dorit, which is so funny because I can imagine Camille saying that with like cum bangs, you know? Like something about Mary.
I can also imagine Dorit with comeback. I can imagine her with that little bob that she has with the stick. She does have a something about Mary hairstyle sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? So I can imagine her with the front
sticking up. Well, I have as many hairstyles as I've got businesses! And dogs!
So Camille, yeah, Camille, this is great because Camille gets real messy real quickly out of nowhere. She's like, yeah, you know, I just get there's a sense of phoniness about Dorit. Mwah. There's a sense of phoniness, like, does she even have all that money? You know, the fake accent, you know, all that stuff. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, and then she turns, because, you know, when Camille tells the story, she's so dramatic. So she turns around, she goes, she makes the little hairs on the back of your neck prickle. Like, what is real? And Ren is annoyed, because Ren is just like, listen, this is our takedown Vanderpump season. Stick to the script.
Yeah, she's like, Camille's pretty wishy-washy. Like, last time I checked, they were getting along really well. I mean, you see a flashback to Camille, who's just accused Dorit of being a phony. You see Camille going like, oh, I think we're such great friends now. I'm having a great time with you, Dorit. Best friends forever. Mwah.
Yeah, but why is she suddenly mad at Dorit? They've been made up for 2 minutes, and you're the one who brought the Coke drama on Dorit.
Okay. Yeah. And Camille says something that I love. She's like, I mean, did Dorit really want that dog? Or did she just want to get close to Vanderpump? It's like, ding, ding, ding.
And she goes, I just don't know. So then the next scene is Denise, and she's with her kid, and then she starts talking to her husband about putting this wedding together in less than a week or whatever. And she's like, I don't really care if people think I'm crazy. I mean, I learned early on to have thick fucking skin. People thought I was crazy to marry Charlie Sheen. I don't fucking care. It's like, how'd that turn out?
I also love, her dog names because, well, she has one, a dog named Baby, which was very Radziwill chic.
Baby.
And then I like that she has a dog named George. Just like a very formal name for a dog. I think formal dog names are hilarious. Like there used to be this show, I probably have mentioned it. There was a reality show called Great American Dog on CBS, which I loved actually. And there was this little Maltese that was named Andrew. And I just thought it was so funny, a dog named Andrew. Anyway, this is what goes on in my head.
So they, I mean, it's wedding stuff. Like, I don't care. Do you have anything more for that scene?
And stuff like that. Like, honestly, if you're going to have a wedding within a week, I don't want to hear about the drama because you set yourself up for it.
Yeah. But she doesn't even care.
She doesn't care.
Her only request is that they don't have porta potties because her friends will freak out, you know, which I think is so far best wedding planning I've ever seen. It's like, let's do this in 5 minutes, all right, so we can have a drink.
Yeah. She's like, just make sure there's a room in the back where we can fuck before and after and maybe even during.
I don't even care about chairs. Just make sure there's a bar.
Yeah, pretty much. So now Teddy goes and meets up with her therapist. She has the Uber of therapists. Like the Uber, like the therapist just like comes to you and then like doesn't really give she's not really much more of a, not so, it doesn't seem so much like a therapist as more just like someone to like hear her out.
Yeah, someone that you pay to go speed walking with.
Yeah, exactly. So they're walking along, they're doing like a little hike, and Teddy is like, hi, I'm Teddy, and I'm in physical pain about my anxiety.
Oh my God. So then she tells her the story. This is a story. I typed as much as I could because this is the big thing of the show. So she's like, So Vanderpump Dogs calls me and says that Vanderpump wants us to tell this crazy story, or they wanted them to tell me this crazy story. So they wanted me to call and tattletale on Dorit, and I can't even tell you how many calls there were. And I admit that I was totally messy, and I was involved in it, and I'm owning it 100%, and this is like 100% what happened, and I mean... And then she goes, oh, and then Dorit sat down and I said, you know about this dog thing already? And truthfully, like, I want to protect her because I didn't even hear the original story. Like, the original story they gave me was a lie. And that's why I'm so mad at it. I'm like, oh, okay. So this is a totally different thing than we've already heard. And guess what else I haven't heard? That Lisa Vanderpump asked you to do this. This is still
all of a sudden we're hearing there's a conference calls, it sounds like, or like Lisa and John Sessa were on one line while she was on the line with John Blizzard and all this, and I was told an insulated version of the truth. Like, my two takeaways of this are, like, the story does keep changing a little bit, and then on top of that, like, she's also over-dramatizing the act, what this all is. Like, all this is, even if everything Teddy says is true, it's basically like, Lisa wants to discuss the situation with the dog under Reed, and she wanted Teddy to bring it up on – she wanted Teddy to be the one to sort of like kickstart the scene. Like, it's really not that big deal. You're on a Real Housewives show. Like, the point of the show is that y'all gossip about each other, and you've actually been continuing to gossip about each other just about in different ways. Like, you talking about Lisa Vanderpump to Kyle and to Erica and to Dorit and now to your therapist and talking about her and such a and being like all upset with her – is not that different than Lisa basically trying to say, hey, let's have a scene where I can talk about Dorit. You know, it's like two of the same thing. So at the end of the day, I don't understand why.
Talking off camera with everybody about who's going to say what and who's going to come after her this and who's going to, you know, so how is that different? I just don't get it. So Teddy's like, well, the original story wasn't even true. Like, they told me that not only was it in a kill shelter, but that Dorit had locked the dog in the basement and it hadn't seen the light of days and months or the light of day in months, which...
That's what they had told Teddy, she says.
Right. That's what she said, that the Sessa and Blizzard guys had told her.
Yeah.
Which, I wouldn't doubt that if Dorit kept that talk in the basement for a month. And who's going to prove that wrong?
I wouldn't doubt that. Look, I understand why Teddy's annoyed. Of course. I'd be annoyed if I felt like someone was trying to manipulate me. But she's also acting as if, like, she was forced to, like, cover up a White House scandal.
Well, she's mad at, yeah, she's mad for the reason that we guess that she's mad. That Lisa, she was under the impression that Lisa was the one who wanted to bring this up. And then when they did bring it up, which, by the way, Teddy didn't really, I mean, the other guy brought it out. Teddy did say, is that the dog?
Yeah.
She got mad that Lisa was like, I don't want to discuss it!
Yes, that would be very frustrating. Yeah. That would be very, very frustrating. Here's the thing, oddly enough, even though we're talking about that Teddy is changing the story and Teddy's a liar, in a weird way, I actually feel like I actually believe Teddy in all this. I just don't understand why she is, like, so exasperated and truly acting like this is just, like, something that is so vile and so awful. Like, do I think it's shady? Yes. You could even make an argument that's tasteless. And yes, that is super annoying that, like, if she's supposed to be on this plan and then Lisa Vanderpump's acting like, oh, I don't know anything about it. That does suck. But I just feel like it's so over-dramatic.
Well,
when
she
the
didn't have a problem.
Fault, Dorit.
Yeah, her problem isn't that she did the deed. She had no problem doing the deed. Her problem was that she was going to get blamed for doing it.
but she didn't do the deed. She was supposed
she
to
did.
Do the deed.
No, she did do it. So they brought out the dog, and she said, isn't that Dorit's dog?
No, she didn't say that. Remember,
who
she didn't
it?
Say it. It's John Sessa and his sloppy ass. He was like, look. Look at this. Recognize this dog? Recognize it? Recognize it? Dorit's.
Oh, so then there you go. So then what's the problem?
Well, the problem... I don't even know anymore.
You know, it's like, it's so much, and it's like, I'm getting so tired of it, but it just keeps
I'm not
changing
tired
every
I'm
week.
So into it. I'm so into it. I love this scandal. I'm very pro-dog scandal.
So, next up...
Now we learn there's more text messages. So... Now Teddy reveals new documents. This is literally like the whatever those papers that Spielberg movie. That Spielberg movie was based off of the paper, whatever it's called, the press, the whatever about the Washington Post with Meryl Streep. Good movie.
The Post.
So John Blizzard. So here are the new text messages. John Blizzard texted Teddy, "I'm getting mixed messages. Ha ha." And then Lisa said, "Text tell her." And then Ken said, "Don't say anything." And then John goes, "I'm like, send help. Lisa says you should adopt the dog. LOL." And then we see a flashback of Lisa making a joke to Teddy in that famous scene, saying like, "No, Teddy, you can't adopt the dog." And Teddy's like, "She made the exact same joke. Honestly, flaming gone or whatever." I'm like, this actually doesn't prove anything, but I appreciate getting more text messages because I really enjoy analyzing them.
Well, she's saying it's proof that she was close with John Blizzard because was making that joke to John Blizzard. So I'm like, no, it shows that they work at the same place. Lisa's saying she's not sitting around gossiping with some 22-year-old on the phone sending back messages on how to set people up is all she's saying. She's not saying she's never met the guy.
I will say, I mean, I really do think that I've been on Lisa's side here, but I think they totally busted her.
Well,
they totally busted this episode.
I think this is why I love it, because we can all read the same text and everybody online is going crazy for different reasons, you know, and everybody finds whatever they want to read, because I totally found proof of what I've been saying this whole time.
Teddy's
a fucking liar. So I can't wait until we get to that part.
Okay, we'll get there. Sorry.
So the meantime, here's a sad thing. Kyle is one of my most hated of all time. Everybody knows that. But I really like Kyle and Vanderpump together. I think they're very funny.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes me sad, because this is like one of the last episodes we're ever going to get of that. And I think they're very funny together.
I know. This actually made me sad. I know. It made me... This scene, especially the way it ended, made me so sad.
Yeah. So they are going to lunch at the Carlton Hunter.
They went to, which is in the Pally Hotel. I'm like, haven't you learned your lessons about the Pally brand? Don't you remember what happened at Pally House? Why are you going to the Pally Hotel?
And this time, Vanderpump was the one who was late, which is really funny, because she got mad at them for being late the last time they were at a Pally place.
So Kyle has devastating news. American Woman was not picked up for a second season. She's like, I'm obviously extremely disappointed that none of you Americans watch my show, but you still line up for Lisa's fucking terrible food at Sir. Why?
Yeah. And they start talking about this party of Denise's, because Denise is going to have some kind of, is it the wedding she announced or the wedding party? I think it's the wedding.
The wedding,
right?
Is the wedding. Should they like, and they decided to do it on Sunday and it's like happening on Saturday, you know, it's like really quick.
Yeah. So she can't go because she's going to an agency party.
The 7th anniversary of the agency.
Vanderpump's
no, that
like...
important 7-year anniversary.
Vanderpump's like, I don't know why she's, why she's moving so fast. She must be pregnant.
Maybe she has consumption.
These people. So then Denise gets there with Aaron, and Denise is wasted. Like, she got wasted
she
in the car.
Having the best time.
Because coming all the way from Malibu is not easy to meet people for an early dinner, you know? So she's already wasted.
They probably had sex 3 times in the Uber on the way over, let's be honest. And they're drunk.
So she's like, hello. So Aaron, when was, or Denise, tell me, when you met, was it instant attraction? And Denise is like, well, yeah, I mean, I just wanted to fuck him. He was hot. Look at him.
Just want to say, yeah.
I want to fuck him right now.
He's got a huge dick.
Yeah.
Penis. Very big penis. Look how big his penis is. Look, you can see it. Look, it's going all the way down to his knee, right? He's got a hard on. Look at that. He's got a hard on.
And they're cracking up.
Yeah.
And Carol's like, I don't know what she's been partaking in on the way here, but her party has already started, okay? It's like poker night at Eileen's all over.
Yeah. And Denise is, she's drunk and she's just saying everything like it's an innuendo, even though I'm pretty sure there's no innuendo. She's like, they're talking about ordering. She's like, do you want a burger? Do you want a burger? I'm like, that's not a sexual innuendo, Denise. Can you pass the water, or should I say... the water.
Or the dick. Hey, you want to pass the water? Or your dick? Just give me your dick. I'll drink. He's got a big dick.
Penis sandwich. Have a penis burger, medium well done. That's how I'll be after he sticks his very large penis inside me.
Well, apparently, Aaron has a what's it as big as a baby's arm. Now I know why the Rusty got married. Ah, dang it.
Lisa's trotting out all her A-list comedy. She's like, tonight, I don't actually know who Denise is marrying. Aaron? Or his penis? Oh.
Rub the stump. Rub the stump. She's at Showtime for the Apollo.
Show for the Apollo. It's Showtime at the Apumplo.
The Van Palo.
Apollo Palo.
So she's like, so Aaron, what is it that you do, young man?
And aside from Denise.
And Denise is like, oh, he's got a really good service and a huge dick. She's like, darling, you never tell other women how well endowed your husband is. You always say, it's teeny tiny.
Yeah, Denise is like, all right, you got a teeny tiny, what am I talking about? It's 5 feet long, that dick. It's huge. Like, literally, why do you think we're in Malibu? Because I'm surfing on his dick all day long.
And Aaron's just like, okay, I guess she's just going to keep talking about my dick. This is fun.
Oh, he loves it. How do you think he got his, like, anything in Hollywood? Okay. He's like a energy sound conveyor or something or another. No, he is... Yeah. A fuckboy.
Yeah.
This is what fuckboys turn into when they grow up.
Yeah. And he won. I mean, he's living on the beach in Malibu. So
he looks great. He's hot. Yeah. I'd like to see him naked. I'm not going to lie.
That penis has done you a lot of good, sir. So then they leave. Vanderpump and Kyle leave together, and they're just cracking up. They can't stop laughing as they leave. They're like, what the hell? Who cast this person? This is amazing.
And that's why I was so sad, because it was truly a moment of, like, they were just having the best time and just laughing, and like it looked like two old friends just having a great night together. And it's like really sad to know that the stupid shit is going to tear them apart. And, you know, and then I do feel like it's Kyle Richards is doing ultimately.
Yep. Well, everyone's going to be calling him for an appointment, including me. And they crack up and leave. So then we get everybody's getting ready to go to Camille's birthday party, and Hanky's on the bridge being a little jerk and
staring down Kyle's cankles.
And he's getting ready, and Vanderpump's like, save it for Kyle, Hanky. Save it for Kyle.
Yeah. Anyway, like Teddy and Edwin are getting ready, and Edwin has like fashioned his hair into like the world's smallest ponytail. And she's like, hi, I'm Teddy. No, we're not doing that. I'm going to keep that ponytail accountable.
Have we ever had one scene of Teddy and Edwin, where Teddy's not just nagging the fuck out of Edwin. Well, that's all she does. I think Edwin whole needs relationship. To be
nagged. I'm sorry. He all needs right. to be nagged. If he has decided to put on a little ponytail that's the size of a fingernail, he needs a nagging.
So we go over to Camille's. I'm just like, okay.
Thank you for I'll that mild, like, half-grown, half-laugh of support. Thank you for that miniature ponytail's worth of a laugh.
I will support you with my laugh, but not my words. Okay?
I want to forgive you, and I want to forget you.
No, never. I would never forget you,
Ben. That
was
a Hills crossover moment.
I got it, but we will never be Heidi.
That miniature that miniature ponytail, though, for real. No, never. Never. Don't do that, people. Never do that. Mm. Never, ever do that. You're married to John Cougar Mellencamp's daughter, and that's what you're going to do in her household? Wear a miniature ponytail? It was bad enough that we had to sit through your fedora and tank top, okay? And now you're going to do a miniature ponytail? These are wrong moments. No one, especially someone who is the daughter, rock royalty, deserves to have that in her house.
Mm. Well, if you can't do a little ponytail as John Cougar Mellencamp's son-in-law, who can you? When can you be that
person? I'm surprised John Cougar Mellencamp didn't drive down there right there and punch him in the face. Like, you don't get to walk with my daughter.
Yeah. So then we go over to Camille's, and Camille's
she is in mwah extravagant. She's like mwah overload.
Mwah. Oh, look at you. Always gorgeous. Beyond.
Oh, this is beyond. Beyond. Oh, hi.
Oh, and then Rinna comes in true Rinna fashion. Hi!
I feel like sometimes Rinna shows up like that page in Clue, the movie, you know? Like the door opens, like, da-da-da-da-da, you know?
You're singing Telegram.
Yeah, Vanderpump just shoots her from the side. I'm Mr. Body.
She's being really nice. Camille's being really nice to Dorit. And Rinna's like, well, clearly she's not too down on Dorit tonight. Flip-floppers are confusing.
Yeah. So then Erica's there. And so Erica's like, oh, let's get this show on the road. Hey, Dorit, why don't you tell Teddy about the text that you saw, you know? So they go outside to now have this, like, big moment.
Oh, God. Okay. So I know I typed these all down. So let me see where I've typed them all down.
Well, while you look for where they're typing, type down. Teddy starts going, this is her new angle. She's like, hi, I'm Teddy. I was involved, but none of it would have happened if Lisa Vanderpump hadn't given them direct orders to constantly contact me. Teddy, that's like not a very accountable thing to say, okay? Like, basically, like, well, I only did it because she told me to do it.
But she didn't even tell her to do it. That's what cracks me up. She did it on a third-hand order. It's like, you're the worst. You're the worst at this. You are terrible at this. And also, how is Vanderpump that bad at manipulation? I mean, everyone says how good she is. This is terrible. It's just sloppy and weak on everybody's part.
Yeah, I still really like Teddy. I just feel like I'm watching a train wreck. I'm like, Teddy, you are better than this. You don't like you said, you're not doing it right.
Yeah, and so Teddy's like, look, I can tell you this, Dorit. I want to start fresh, and nothing would have happened without her orders. And Dorit's like, well, she said this was between John, kind of raining hard, possibly it's going to be hell today, and you. And Teddy's like, no, they sought me out because of our past and because of the info Vanderpump fed me. And Erica's like,
well, you're explaining it because on its face it sounds pretty shitty. All right, that's why you do it. Let's just get it out on the table because that's what you're doing here, honey.
Yeah.
And so then Teddy tells us that she's pissed because Vanderpump was acting like, no, don't you dare.
Which was
don't
pretty funny.
Dorit.
Because Lisa did a terrible job on like her part of the scheme. She's like, what? I don't even know who Dorit is. Is this a person I know? All I know is this beautiful dog here. That's all. I know nothing. I know nothing. I don't even know how to speak. What are these words coming out of my mouth? Boo, boo, ba, ba, bing, ba, boo, boo.
And Teddy's like, I was set up and I took the bait, but I couldn't go through with it. I didn't tell Kyle. I didn't tell Lisa Rinna. I'm like, Bullshit. Bullshit, you didn't. Okay, so you didn't tell Kyle. So you and Kyle were all there, and then the minute that Kyle found out, that's why Teddy started backpedaling so much. I was wondering why she was acting like that at the dog place, when she's like, yeah, I knew about it, but, you know, I didn't say anything because they told me not to say anything, which, by the way, she did say that. They told me not to say anything over there. And she's, yeah. Someone told Lisa Rinna. Lisa Rinna wasn't just swimming around there acting like a damn shark for no reason. I'm assuming Kyle told Lisa Rinna.
But Kyle was also, I mean, I don't know what was said to Lisa Rinna off camera, but what we at least saw on camera, Kyle said these things right in front of Lisa Rinna's face. So that way Lisa Rinna was like, what's going on? So then the next day she's like, okay, someone tell me what's going on with that dog, you know? So yeah. Kyle created that situation at the very least. And so now you have Teddy, who is just like, she's obviously triggered, you know, this is obviously something that she does not like to feel like she's someone's pawn. This is something that goes much deeper for her, you know, which the therapist says, you don't like being out of control, but maybe she's right, you know, because she's like, I don't care about all this petty crap. This is like somebody I can't look at anymore. You just set me up. She's talking about Lisa. You just set me up. And now you're pretending like your hands are so clean that so you can be relevant and you can be the hero to Dorit and me, the bad guy. Fuck you. I'm like, I feel like you are projecting a lot of things onto this moment. Well, says me, who's projecting a lot of stuff onto this entire discussion. But whatever.
Yeah.
I could be a hypocrite. I'm allowed.
And Dorit's like, well, let's just focus on what we know. I'm the victim in all of this.
I know. So then Lisa and Kyle show up together, and Kyle sees the women all talking. She's like, well, this doesn't look very inviting. I'm like, yeah, it'll only be a few seconds before you shove yourself right in there.
Yeah. So Teddy continues, this is the first time I've done this to someone. And, you know, I did it because last year Lisa Vanderpump was the only one to call me and be nice to me. And Erica's like,
she's accepted responsibility. She took the bait. What are you going to do, yell at a fish? All it wants is a worm and a hug. She's taking accountability, and that's what's most important here.
I'm like, okay, arbiter of right and wrong over there. Why is Erica the fucking judge in the middle of all of this?
I think what annoys me about this situation with Erica is that she is, like, very quick to be like, oh, okay, you're off the hook. Like, I feel like she holds other people up to, like, much more critical analysis and pushback, and she challenges it, whatever, and, like, but with Terry's, oh, okay, perfect. You know, like, you said what you needed to say.
Yes, Erica. She's taken ownership like the Bellagio will of Jennifer Lopez's house.
Jennifer Lopez's house. Meanwhile, Camille's inside. Everyone's outside, and no one's in with Camille. She's like, come on, girls. This is about me being on the planet. Stop with the fighting. It's like, shut up, Camille.
No, be quiet, Camille. Sit down. So, Dorit, Kyle, Rinna, Teddy. Well,
yeah, and by the way, I want to say, just to piggyback on pretty much what you said about Dorit saying, like, I want to remind everyone I'm the victim. She literally says, I don't want to get into the he said, she said, but the idea that two people set out to hurt me hurts. Yep. Settle down. Okay, you're the one who sent the dog to Shelley Turr. Settle down. All you had to do was follow the rules. All you had to do was that.
So Rinna comes out. She's like, just coming to see what's up. Not looking this because there's blood in the water or anything like that. Just, you know, hi. Hi, how are you? So Kyle's like, we're all in black. And Erica's like, yeah, because it's a funeral. It's about to be.
Yeah.
So Teddy's like, nothing's up, okay? It's just that, like, I was admitting to Dorit that before I did totally shady things. And Denise is like, ah, God, they're fucking fighting out there. I'll go. Why not?
Why not? It's fun. Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to get me horned up, and then I'm probably going to fuck Aaron in the back room.
Yeah,
there.
If I listen to these girls fight, will it make my husband's dick smaller? Probably not. All right, I'll go.
You know, I don't really care about their fight. I just think it's fun to look at my husband's dick from over here and see how big it still is from far away.
So then Vanderpump appears, and now Vanderpump doesn't know that everybody, that Kyle has totally gone to Teddy and told her that she knows about all of these text messages, right? So Vanderpump still thinks she has the upper hand as far as information goes, and she's going to be able to, like, aha! Yeah. By proving that she's got these texts. But these ladies are all working together, and they're all talking.
And they kind of, in my book, I don't know. They do kind of have a logic on their side a little bit, as much as it hates me to say it. Although I'm still on Lisa's side, I still think they
Well, they deflate her argument because Vanderpump appears thinking she's about to win, right?
Yeah,
so
she's
like, listen, I just want to move on from this whole thing. It's clear to me what you did.
I've seen the Texases.
I've been to Texas. But you know what? And Teddy's like, what's clear exactly? And she goes, that you were a guilty by omission. And then it cuts to Vanderpump going, oh, I think she's in the wrong business. She should have called her business Miss Avoidability. That might be better.
Oh, God.
So Teddy's like,
I love when Vanderpump like comes in with her old lady zingers. They're just so like to me, her zingers, like they are like, I don't know. I was going to, they remind me of her pussy bows, you know, just this like this fuddy duddy thing that's just like omnipresent. I'm like, Vanderpump, we know you're better than this. Like, let's ditch the pussy bows. Let's ditch the crappy zingers. Let's get back to the classic Vanderpump that we know and love.
Yeah, well, she thinks she is. So Teddy goes at her. She's like, I was on the line with John Blizzard while you were on the other line with John Sessa, so I know. She goes, I was not involved. And she's like, then how did you know to text Dorit that I knew? And Vanderpump pauses, because this is where they get her, right?
Right.
And she's like, but of course I knew that you knew. Of course I knew that you knew.
Meanwhile, Rinna, they cut to Rinna sitting there in the corner with a victorious straw in her mouth. She's like, like slurping so hard. She's like the happiest slurper in the world. She just has a big old smile on that straw.
Yeah, she's loving it. So then we get the clip of Vanderpump saying, I had no idea that she knew, you know, which is how they're catching her in the sly. And Kyle's like, it's really clear to me what's going on. She wanted her to have that info, and then, you know, she made sure that she got that info, and now here we are. Which,
yeah,
I mean, pretty much I think it's clear to everyone, right?
Right.
So the way they think they're getting her is by saying, you know, this whole, did you know or did you not know?
Right. Like, well, they're trying to, like, bust this thing. Because Lisa was dumb and said, I've never talked to John Blizzard in my life. Like, Lisa, come on. Like, that's not, you were not going to win that argument. Like, that's.
She never said she's never talked to him. She says that she doesn't have his number and she doesn't sit there and talk with a 22-year-old.
Yeah.
Which.
But so now they're trying to poke holes in that argument, because if they poke holes in that argument, it shows that she lied about one little thing, which means that her entire case is wrong.
Disregard that Teddy just lied about this entire fucking thing, right? And now they're just like, okay, now Teddy's telling the truth. So Rinna's like, well, you said at the Bahamas that there were no texts. And she goes, how was I supposed to know there's no text? What is happening? You know, you see her trying to remember, like, how they're trying to piece all this together.
Right.
So then Rinna gives us her argument, which is, if Vanderpump knew that Teddy knew, then why didn't she call Dorit and say, or then why didn't she call Teddy and say, keep your mouth shut? Did she do that? Nope. Well, who cares? It's not her fucking job to do that. It's not everyone's job to protect you guys from the shitty stuff you do off camera.
Yeah, but I think that Rinna, I mean, I don't totally discount Rinna's logic in that, because Lisa is basically saying, Lisa's argument is, I don't want to bring this up. I've settled this with Dorit. I don't want this to become a thing. And then Lisa's saying, like, hey, Dorit, you should get in front of this, because now Teddy's gossiping about it. So what Rinna's basically saying is, like, if Vanderpump cared so much about this not turning into a thing, why didn't you just call up Teddy yourself and be like, listen, can we, like, please don't gossip about this. I don't want this to be a thing. That's what Rinna's saying. And honestly, I think it's a fair point.
Okay. So let's move on to the next one. So Teddy's like, well, I know you won't take ownership, but I did, and I've told the truth, and I've apologized. So if you can live with yourself doing something like that, then go for it. It's been working for you for a long time. And Vanderpump's like, okay, fine.
She's
with
like,
that.
Okay, great. Perfect. So we've squashed that. I will continue to manipulate all of you guys, and let's celebrate Camille, shall
okay,
we?
So this is where these texts come in. We get to see the
here
text.
Comes the round two of the texts.
Yeah, so Teddy, who just seems to keep coming up with more and more as time goes on, as she gets caught in more and more shit. So she's like, Lisa is full of shit. I have texts proving that Ken was contacting John Blizzard, discussing how it comes out to Teddy and Kyle. First of all, you do not have any texts between Ken and John Blizzard.
No, she has John
you don't
Blizzard
have any phone conversations. You have John Blizzard saying it. And, of course, he's saying what they were talking about, because he's saying what they're talking about at work, where
and
he works.
It
it's
to
not like
anyone
some big secret thing.
And has it occurred to anyone that John Blizzard may not be the most reliable source? His name is Blizzard, okay? And I don't believe that's his real last name. I don't think it's even his real first name. I don't even know if he's even a real human being. I think he might just be, like, a toy, okay? Well, I don't know why everyone thinks that whatever John Blizzard says is totally true. He's a gossipy employee who's gossiping with someone he does spin classes with, okay?
Well, or, like, I believe him. See, this is the thing. Like, I believe that he's saying it. It's, the thing is, he's gossiping with Teddy about shit that's happening in the office. Nobody's telling him, you have to tell all this stuff. So, but then here's what we get for the text.
Hold on 1 second. It's not, for me, I guess it's, I should say, it's not about believability, but it's about a game of telephone, right? Like, he hears something one way, right? And so then he relays it, and it's over text. So then, like, there's already, like, a certain amount of, filtering that happens through the text, you know, because it's, like, certain, like, inflections and intentions or whatever are, like, stripped away. So, like, there's a little bit of a game of telephone, and all these accusations and all this anger is based off of one person saying what one person said to someone else. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's not a good way to conduct an investigation.
Right. So Teddy reads the text. So the text says, this is from him, it says, he's just like, before you tell Teddy and Kyle, I'm just going to try to control the situation because PK has been my best friend for 40 years. So I'm like, he says he's just figuring out the best way to do this because of, like, filming and relationships, because obviously it's going to get out. Mm-hmm. And then the text from Teddy says, if PK was his bestie, he would have told him ... So that's Teddy's first piece of evidence. Well, what I got from that is that they're saying this is going to get out on camera. How are we going to protect our relationship with PK and Dorit? Right. Okay. So then Teddy says, number two, after Kyle and I leave Vanderpump Dogs, I get this message from John Blizzard saying that he's with Lisa and Pandora discussing everything. And right. So...
And Pandora said, you were there? What happened, mommy? And
yes, but, like, of course...
I can't even describe.
Yes, but of course that's what she highlights. Read the rest of that text chain. Because up Please. Top it says, Blizzard is saying, I'm getting so many mixed messages. I just hate this and I'm ready to go home. Ha ha. I think he's not as mad as he could be, ... just because Lisa kept being like she didn't want it to end up there, blah, blah, blah. And when we went upstairs, we had a whole separate conversation and I don't know. Okay, so Lisa is saying, stop making such a big deal out of this and stop being so angry. Dorit didn't know that it was going to end up at the shelter. So from this very text, Teddy, that you're showing as evidence, Lisa is saying Dorit didn't mean to do anything wrong. So what's your fucking argument? This is from your phone, these texts.
I honestly, when I was reading those text messages, I actually didn't even understand. I was like, this doesn't prove one thing to me either way. You've helped. I like your interpretation of them. But when I was reading them, I was like, what?
Well, it literally does this prove anything? I think he's not as mad as he could be just because Lisa kept being like she didn't want it to end up there. So Lisa is in these texts that you're not showing everybody. You're showing us now because your ass got caught. But if everybody had seen all these texts, they would have seen that Lisa is saying, don't fucking rat out Dorit. She didn't do it on purpose. She's just a dope, which is what she's been telling us this whole time. So then Teddy's next text to him is, I'm tired after this morning, laugh emoji, monkey covering its eyes emoji. I mean, come on. So then Teddy comes back to us and she goes, this proves that Lisa Vanderpump is lying about having zero relationship with John Blizzard. Idiot! Yeah. John Blizzard works for the place! The dog... They were talking about it at his place of employment! You have no proof that she did anything!
Yeah, I did... The one thing I will say is that I felt like anytime she said this 100% proves it, it proved nothing. It was so
nothing,
flimsy.
Hey.
Multiple times. Like, there was the other thing we said before, which I can't even remember now. And she's like, this proves it. I was like... This didn't prove anything
this
to me.
This proves that Lisa was saying Dorit didn't mean for the dog to end up in the shelter, which is what she said this whole fucking time, Teddy. So Teddy's like, well, let's just coexist, Lisa. And Vanderpump's like, I'm not into coexisting with you, Teddy. She's like, well, I know I can't change you, so it is what it is. And you know, Teddy's just a belligerent asshole. And, you know, she won this one, I have to say. She totally got her.
Well,
because
Lisa
now
was
everybody
not...
Everybody thinks, Lisa... that, you know...
Yeah, because Lisa then tries to change the subject, right? Which is usually a sign of, you know, like, that you've lost, right? She's like, so you don't feel any kind of guilt or remorse? And she's like, I don't feel any kind of guilt with you. I feel guilty that I almost let my husband come here in a tiny little ponytail, but I have no guilt about you.
I feel betrayed by you. And Vanderpump's like, well, I betrayed by you. And she's like, oh, because I couldn't carry out your plan? Sorry.
I'm Teddy.
Still no proof that this was her plan. It's you. It's proof of you texting somebody who works there and heard what they were talking about.
And then Dorita's like, she's like, this is no longer about Lucy and a lie. This is about my friendship with Lisa Vanderpump. I'm like, yeah, a friendship that you talked shit about last season on camera and then acted like you didn't say it. And then you tried to get in front of that story by talking to Lisa in the park and be like, I may have said some things, but I don't really think I said anything at all. You know, it's like that's the thing. And then on top of that, Dorit goes, she plotted against me behind my back to hurt me. And a friend doesn't do that to someone. I'm like, did you not see last season? Did you not see last season?
And Dorit's like, here's what I know. The truth shall always set you free. I'm like, are you quoting Real Jesus
original.
Now?
Real I mean, original.
Oh my God, she's quoting Jesus. Like the ultimate martyr.
And again, like, it's not like she's on death row, okay? Please just like... So then everyone gets back to partying and they bring out a cake for Camille. She's like, I'm surprised she blew out any candles on it. And she gives Camille gives a speech about love and trust and reruns of Frasier and things like that. And Kyle's like, I'm bombed. It's like, please don't do this. Oh, she's doing the splits. Mm-hmm.
And again, she looks like an idiot, but Rinna's the one who made her do it. She's like, we need the splits.
And then people are leaving the party. So there's like extended sequence of Camille be like, oh, bye, honey. Bye. Bye, honey. 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 Bye. Bye, oh. Honey. Bye. Honey, bye, honey, bye.
So she's honey. Like, Erica, thank you. Erica, thank you so much. Thank you, Erica. And she's doing those prayer hands. She's doing prayer hand emoji. And Erica, yes. Goes, oh, come here, please. She walks off. I have to say, I don't agree with Erica this season, but I'm laughing my ass off with Erica this season, which is a nice change. Because usually she just gets on my fucking nerves. And this season, she's, I think, really...
She's having, I think she and Rinna are both, well, I think Rinna's having more fun with it, but it's like, it's good to see Erica just like getting in the mix, you know?
Yeah. So Kyle and Vanderpump are in their car going home, and Kyle's like, why do I have to be cute all the fucking time? I'm like, oh,
God, yeah. Kyle. And then Dorit's in her car with PK, and she's like, well, PK, Teddy owned up to all her ugliness in the Texas. I was like, oh, yeah, you're saying? Like,
yeah, now they're all saying it. Oh, my God, it's contagious. But when Kyle's like, why do I have to be cute all the fucking time? Vanderpump goes, but you weren't, darling. Your vagina was on the floor.
And that's the side of Vanderpump we like.
Yeah.
And actually, you know what I loved? Was then they started talking about Teddy. And Lisa's like, and how about Teddy saying we should all agree to coexist? It's like, you should be so lucky, bitch.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like when she deals with stuff like that instead of being like, oh, my heart.
Yeah, you know? Me too.
And then Kyle's like, oh, fuck my life, you know, as if Kyle didn't get this whole ball rolling.
Right. And PK is just like, you know what, maybe Dorit, maybe you should just, you know, she is grieving. So maybe you should just like chill out because she's our best friend, my best friend. And this is also stupid. And she's also, like I said, grieving. So maybe you can stop doing that. She's like, I mean, I understand that hurt people, but how much do I have to take? I'm like, how have you been hurt? What has happened here? Like, what got hurt? There was almost a scene where people talked about you.
Yeah, I'm still not sure how that hurt Dorit, but whatever. Oh my God. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of Beverly Heels. Everybody, go get your Goodbye Kyle T-shirt. And buy tickets for our shows coming out, okay? Go get your tickets, watchwithkravitz.com. Also, this week's bonus episode was a shot-by-shot breakdown of the Real Housewives of Potomac trailer, which you can also find on our Patreon. And that's it for me. Anything for you to end up with, man?
No, I think I'm just going to throw myself down on the floor and disintegrate.
Yeah, right? Everybody, we love you. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye. Bye.